President Obama wrote this to his supporters, quote, in 1796, as George Washington set the precedent for a peaceful democratic transfer of power, he also set a precedent by penning a farewell address to the American people. And over the 220 years since, many American presidents have followed his lead. We're going to discuss President Obama's farewell address now with Mordecai Lee. He's a professor of urban planning at UW-Milwaukee and a former state lawmaker. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What kind of role would you like to see President Obama have after he leaves the White House? Post your thoughts on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Mordecai, what are you expecting to hear tonight from President Obama?
Well, if there's one thing that President Obama has not been good at, I think it's at advertising his accomplishments, at selling his successes. And I think in general, American public opinion has sort of unappreciated some of his accomplishments. If only if we look back to bringing the economy back from the Great Recession, bringing the auto industry back, generally speaking, improving the economy, getting some uninsured people health insurance. I think these are accomplishments that were significant, but he was sort of never good at that. He was never good at selling it. It's almost like he thought that the good deeds in and of themselves would get the credit they deserved. And that old term that he's no drama Obama is, I think, a good example of the fact that he's sort of methodical and rational, but not particularly good at patting himself on the back. So in the speech tonight, I think we're going to be seeing some of an effort to summarize all the things that he accomplished. I also think we're going to see a hint of the role that he'll be playing after he steps down as president. And if I had to make a prediction, the role is going to be very similar to his predecessor, George W. Bush. After all, Mr. Obama ran very much against George W. Bush, for example, about the Iraq War, but that Mr. Bush never replied in kind and really stayed out of politics, stayed out of commenting on what his successor was doing. And I think that President Obama not only appreciated it, but understood the significance of it. So I'd predict that that's what he's going to do beginning on the 21st.
And you don't expect some shots at his successor, Donald Trump, then?
Well, he's already tried to say that if Obamacare is going to be repealed, that those, 20 million people still need to have health insurance. There still needs to be incentives in the American society to cover as many people as possible, mm-hmm. and that it benefits the country by having more people insured. I'm not sure how combative it would be. I don't think that would quite be fitting in a farewell address. I think the farewell address is really, to circle back to where we started the hour, a bit like a state of the state. It's a loftier, grander kind of state event.
We have another comment from Albert on Facebook who says, breaking the color barrier of the office of the president. Has that gone by the wayside?
You know, I really like Albert's comment. The fact that President Obama was the first African-American president is very, very significant. Now, we can argue about whether the opposition to him was purely partisan or if there were deeper motivations that had to do with his race, but I think we all need to give him the credit for being a gracious president, a president who is a role model to our children, a president who was always respectable and respectful, who always carried the dignity of his office. So, yes, he deserves that, not just because he was the first African-American president, but because of his personality and the dignity he brought to the office.
And these farewell addresses have quite a history, can be traced all the way back to George Washington in 1796. How do these farewell addresses tend to go?
Well, we have some very famous farewell addresses going back to George Washington, where he urged us to avoid entanglements with foreign affairs. In other words, not to get involved in Europe's issues, which and only in hemispheric issues, which was great advice. There was President Eisenhower's warning against a military-industrial complex, which I think is as relevant today as it was when he said it in 1960. So those were important points, but I think the distinction to be made is they weren't criticisms of a successor, or they weren't shots at people who had opposed that president, but rather they were sort of the lofty goals that they hoped would be carried forward into the future. And that's a nice way to leave office.
And given that Republicans are on the verge of repealing Obama's signature health care law, what does that say about how big an accomplishment that piece of legislation actually was?
Well, I think the accomplishment is not so much Obamacare itself, or how you want to call it, or how it was structured, but that it brought, I think it's about 20 million people into the health marketplace, gave them insurance so they could have doctors and regular care. That's the constituency we need to keep our eyes on. If the Republican Congress and President Trump have a better idea for those, is it 20 million and perhaps the others who are still on the outside, to get good health care, then I say more power to them. But there now is a kind of a vested interest, a kind of a built-in constituency that has something. And in politics, the hardest thing to do is, if somebody has something, to take it away from them. And so the Republicans need to figure out a way to change Obamacare without taking health insurance away from the people who are already covered. And that's where I think President Obama is sort of keeping his fingers crossed that somehow some version of an Obamacare will survive, because those, if it's 20 million people, will still need to be covered.
We're talking with Mordecai Lee, a professor of urban planning at UW-Milwaukee and a former state lawmaker. You can join this conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you think is President Obama's greatest accomplishment? What about his biggest failure? What do you hope President Obama will do after he leaves the White House? Join in at 800-642-1234, or you can post your thoughts on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And so on that note, what would you say might be considered to be President Obama's biggest failure during his term?
I think his biggest failure was his inability to get Congress to pass any gun control laws. I think we can remember back to that awful, awful gun shooting incident at the school in Connecticut. And really, the country was moved by it in a way that we haven't been moved in a long time, because these were such young, innocent children, and it was so needless. And President Obama thought he had finally found a formula that even people who were protective of the Second Amendment might vote for some kind of restrictions, and then he failed. And some of your audience might remember the press conference he gave after he failed, and He seemed to be near tears and said he would keep at it, and he did keep at it, but he kept failing. So even though there are some in the audience who were against that initiative, I would still think it's fair to describe that as his biggest failure.
What could he have done differently? What went wrong about his failed formula?
Well, I think it was the politics of the time have gotten so toxic that any win for a president was considered a bad idea by the opposition party and by various special interest groups that were allied with that that political party. A kind of a never give an inch, never let him win absolutely anything, no matter how minor or seemingly moderate a proposal might be. I think that dogmatism and inflexibility is what really led to the negative views of the president, and certainly led to the failure of the gun control law.
Going back to his speech tonight, President Obama is, you know, long revered by some for his soaring rhetoric. Is that where the nation is right now, or is it in this quick hit social media tweet world where you just want the bottom line, you just want a quick piece of information to digest?
That's really a great question about how much our society has changed. I think the farewell address is speaking to history. It's speaking to the future. It's hoping to help mold his legacy. And so, for example, I would expect today that he might summarize what he thinks he helped accomplish in various laws, whether it's in the area of labor or environment or health care. And I think people are going to be sort of surprised at how good the list is in terms of non-divisive accomplishments. So he's trying to talk to historians to say, hey, I think I deserve credit for these things. I hope that history's verdict will be positive. So you're right. It will be more the lofty rhetoric and the larger issues. It's not going to be a tweet-based event.
So how do you think the history books are going to view the 44th president of the United States?
Well, maybe the best example is to go back to President Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, who took office in 1933 in the Great Depression and who worked hard at overcoming the economic failures that occurred and essentially took until World War II to overcome the Great Depression. And we salute President Roosevelt for two things, and that's recovering from the Depression and winning World War II. I think it's relatively fair to say that President Obama is a parallel to Franklin Roosevelt in terms of the economy. The Great Recession could have been a disaster along the lines of the Great Depression. He succeeded in moderating it and breaking it and coming back gradually, very, very slowly. But I think history will give him an enormous amount of credit for that.
Well, we're looking at different viewpoints on Facebook. We have Mary on Facebook, complimentary, calling President Obama, quote, one of the brightest, most hardworking, level-headed, compassionate, scandal-free presidents in years. While Gary says there really isn't anything he could say that could be of much value for in this speech, however, it would show a little class, he says, if he did apologize. Gary didn't add what he should be apologizing for, however. So we can continue this conversation on Facebook. How do you feel about the outgoing president, President Obama, and what he should say in his farewell address to the American people tonight? Mordecai, it's such a pleasure. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me.
That was Mordecai Lee, a professor of urban planning at UW-Milwaukee and a former state lawmaker. Thanks to Bill Martins, Naija Ellison, Brianne Chasso, and Michelle Good, technical director. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this is the Ideas Network. Coming up tomorrow at this time, we'll get reaction to President Obama's farewell speech and the takeaways and the tone. Do join us there tomorrow here on the Joy Cardine Show.